precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove. Mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard. Mine to punish or reward. Mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness. Mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come, and the rebel sinner's doom. Oh, thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine.
Thank you. Singing is an athletic activity. Thank you, Jim. This is lesson number 4 on Bible biology, God's view on the house of the spirit and soul. I'm hoping you're going to take my advice on this. As we cite the scriptures, would you please read them from your own personal Bible? Because this is what you will evangelize from. If you're already familiar with these verses in scripture, in your own Bible, with its own typeset, its own font, its own, the way it looks, it becomes a very personal sword because you have it out of its scabbard and you're rehearsing. Let's go in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. We'll be looking at verse number 20. We're going to be in Romans chapter number 1. Greetings, kindred. We are on a first-name basis here. My name is Walter. The Holy Spirit is our real teacher. The last time we met, we searched for nerves in the Bible. We began by trusting God's Word in Romans chapter 1. Let us read together. Classmates, we are classmates in God's classroom together. Would you recite with me out of Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In lesson 3, we asked ourselves some questions. Is one of the marks of a Christian his ability to see the invisible? Do you and I see the invisible? If we understand, quote, the things that are made, unquote, our bodies, the houses for our spirits and souls, are we understanding the invisible things of Him? In lesson 3, we asked, does the Bible mention nerves? The cells of the body's master communication system. Believing Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we trusted we could see the invisible by understanding the things that are made, nerve cells. We asked, how is nerve tissue structured to time messages out to all parts of the body and back again in a cycle? Let's go to our visual aid. This is going to be a quick review for those of you who will be playing catch-up, especially the Vertrees family and my brother Doug Thornburg. He hasn't heard this one yet. And I think, Gary, you haven't heard this one yet either, have you? Okay, all right. You'll be playing catch-up because you weren't here for lesson 3. And we're going to do this quite rapidly. I urge you to get lesson number 3. It's available from the Sound Engineering Ministry here at Fellowship of God's Covenant People. All right, very valuable people, by the way. They are facilitating communications as meaningfully as the structure of nerve tissue times messages from the center of ourselves out to all parts of the body and back again in a cycle. Take a look at the side that says neuron. N-E-U-R-O-N. It is the Greek word for nerve. Neuron. Look carefully at this picture. We use this visual aid in Bible Biology Lesson 3 to understand how nerve cells are, Romans 1:20, made. We found that some of the names of the microscopic parts of nerve structure are the Greek words from the Koine Greek language of the New Testament scriptures. Telodendrons. It's not listed on this. It's called by another name, axon terminals. Does everyone see the words axon terminals here at the end of the red thread? Axon terminals. Telodendrons, also called axon terminals at the ends of nerves, are tree-like structures. Telodendron is two Greek words. Telos, end, and dendron, tree. Those are the Greek words of the 1550 received text, the Stephen's text, from which we have our King James English 1611 translation of the New Testament scriptures. Isn't that interesting that for anatomy, the study of body structure, we're using Greek words right out of the Bible? What is the word in parentheses underneath axon terminals, also called telodendrons, end trees? What is the let me hear that?
Transmitters.
Yes. The word transmitters, a term common to the general science of radio, describes their function. Transmitter signifies the ability of the living parts of our body to communicate. Telodendrons are found at the end of nerve fibers called axons, functioning as, what does it say in parentheses underneath the word axon? Yes, thank you, Tim. Thank you. The conducting fiber. They're functioning as conductors, indicating how they communicate. What do axons conduct? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In our Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at verse 16. Conductor is commonly used in the general science of electricity. We noted in Lesson 3 that this metaphor, electricity, has its limitations. Every introduction of electricity into the living tissue of the body threatens to burn it up. The electric chair for execution is no joke. Biologists say whatever flows through the living tissues called nerves is solicitous of the tissues through which it flows. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, does not use the term, quote-unquote, solicitous. In language unrivaled in beauty and brevity, he is saying for almost 2,000 years that this supply, quote, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, unquote. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Take a look in your Bibles. This is your personal sword. You're going to be using this. Who knows if you'll be called upon to reveal a secret that was withheld from students at high-dollar science colleges and universities. They don't tell their students this secret. We exposed it last week. Now we're reviewing it again this week with the scriptures in detail. We're in Ephesians chapter number 4. We're looking at verses 15 and 16. Classmates, would you let me read verse 15? And would you please respond with verse number 16? We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I read first verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Are we in awe yet? Mental impulses do not burn up living tissue. Why do we call nerve impulses mental impulses? The adjective mental means pertaining to the mind. In our living bodies, who or what is minding the store? Take three fingers. Place them against your inner wrist, near the top bone of your forearm. Does anybody not feel a pulsing? You're just taking your own pulse. Does anybody not feel that pulsing? Who here does not feel that? Everybody locate the pulsing? Yeah. If that stops, you have 8 to 10 seconds before your body hits the floor. And if you're on a treadmill and you're testing your heart, you'll get swept away like so much garbage. 8 to 10 seconds. That's how immediate the blood supply is to our brains and to the whole body. Things happen fast. We've got 16,000 miles of circulatory system inside of us. Imagine how fast you have to go through that 16,000 miles to get a complete circuit. And we do that hundreds of times a day. Maybe thousands. It goes fast. They say we can live 2 to 8 minutes without a fresh oxygen or a blood supply, depending upon our stamina and or endurance. How long can you live without a nerve supply? 0 seconds. Does that give you some idea of the importance or priority of some of the functions that occur within this house for the spirit and the soul? What mines the store within us? What causes that pulse rate to be whatever it was for you at this moment is not the same thing as it was for me at this moment. Mine might be pumping a little quicker. You're seated and rested. I'm working. But it fits you. It doesn't fit somebody else. It fits you. It fits me. What minds the store within us is engaged in governmental function. Our bodies have a God-given government. What is that God-given government? What is it? Put a mark in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be returning to it. Back to our visual aid entitled neuron. In lesson 3, we talked about another part of the nerve cell. Attached to the body of the nerve cell, see the body here? In the center it says nucleus. Attached to the body of the nerve cell are processes shorter than the axon. Do we see the word dendrites? Everybody's got dendrites. Okay, good. What's the same parentheses underneath the word dendrites? Dendrites are tree-like structures on the side of the nerve cell body, opposite to the axon. Dendrite is the diminutive form of the Greek word dendron, meaning tree. So we've got smaller trees here. So dendrites are smaller tree-like structures. What is the word in parentheses that explains the function of dendrites? I heard it once.
Receivers.
The flow of mental impulses is always from the receivers to the end of the axon terminals, transmitters. Does everybody see the direction of the flow of mental impulses? From the receivers through the cell body, along the axon, out to the axon terminals, transmitted to the next nerve. It helps if we get our directions right. To say that the long way around. The receivers, the dendrites, receive the mental impulses from the axon terminals or teledendrons of the previous nerve, with the flow through the cell body, down the axon, to the teledendrons, the transmitters, and on to the dendrites of the next nerve. That's a brief description of the wiring of our body's master communication system. Now, this is the hardest part of our review of Lesson 3. We learned a new language in order to get an accurate picture of microscopic nerve structure hung in the picture galleries of our minds. In Lesson 3, we learned a secret of nerve function withheld from students at high-dollar tuition, science universities and colleges. Structure and function are what? Good. You're something other than public school graduates. You can read. I thank God for that. That is hard to overcome. And every single one of us is overcoming it. Without an accurate picture of nerve anatomy, we fail to understand this secret function. Structure is largely visible. Function goes to the invisible. You can see me moving my arm. What you can't see is all the things that went into it that make that possible. The Krebs cycle occurring in the mitochondria of the living muscle cells. That burst of energy coming from the Krebs cycle, ATP to ADP, in order to energize the fact that movement is a key sign of life. Not dead yet. Boy, if it's one thing I learned from our prayers and testimonies this morning, we are not getting out of this life until God says so. The reason for keeping this secret may make you very angry. This secret is withheld because it confirms the truth of Scripture and identifies our kinsman redeemer as the capital A author of biology. Do not miss out. Hang in with me, please. We needed to learn a few new words in this new language. Synapse. S-Y-N-A-P-S-E. The long form is synaptic junction. Is a junction adjoining? Can we say a junction is a joint? Please remember this word, joint. It is in our scriptures. It is the translation of a mysterious Greek word that only appears twice in the Koine Greek of the books of the New Testament, hafe, Greek word number 860. What are the parts that are joining together at the synapse? The synapse is the junction of the telodendrons of the previous nerve. Remember axon terminals? The telodendrons of the previous nerve to the dendrites, remember the dendrites attached to the cell body, of the next nerve, the following nerve. The mental impulse of the previous nerve reaches the telodendrons, the end trees, triggering the secretion of neurotransmitters that wash over the dendrites of the following nerve. This gives rise to the same mental impulse in the next nerve. Mental impulses are transmitted and received from one nerve cell to the next at the synaptic junction. Are synaptic junctions joinings or unitings? Turn the visual aid over. to structure of nerve tissue. Structure of nerve tissue. Here we see the body of the nerve cell called neuron cell body. Neuron cell body. Nucleus is there. Nissl bodies are there. Cytoplasm is there. And the axon with its associated structures. Above the words peripheral nerve fiber at the bottom. Peripheral nerve fiber at the bottom. What do we see? The fibers cut away and chopped off at the end. This allows us to see the axon inside the fiber. In lesson 3, we talked about Theodor Schwann, an anatomist and physiologist who lived from 1810 to 1882. He was called an anatomist and physiologist because he had a good understanding of structure and function. And we said structure and function are what?
Married,
thank you. He discovered living cells in the nerve fiber that live in harmony with the nerve cell. They produce an exudation called myelin, a waxy-like substance surrounding the axon of the nerve cell. And myelin is not some type of blob. Myelin is highly organized into a number of layers. Notice in your visual aid, along the left side of the peripheral nerve fiber, the top label reads Schwann cell nucleus. Everyone see that? Is there someone that has not found that yet? Very good. Schwann cell nucleus. There are also glial cells, neuroglia. There's three types of cells. Two supporting cells, the Schwann cells and the glial cells, that support the nerve cell in its function, the body's master communication system. Now, Theodor Schwann, now underneath, he's the one that discovered the Schwann cells. They're named after him. And the myelin, being not some kind of blob, but highly organized in a number of layers, was discovered later. It took electron microscopy to do it. Underneath the next label reads, what's underneath Schwann cell nucleus? Myelin sheath, very good. And below that, an arrow indicating the location of the axon inside of all this nerve fiber. Do we see the line connected to the bar line showing the extent of the myelin sheath layers? See that bar line? Extending. The line extends from myelin sheath into a bar line that shows the extent of the myelin sheath layers. This is very important to have this picture in our minds. On the right side of the nerve fiber, where it is cut off at its end to reveal what is inside, appears the label showing the microtubules of the axoplasm of the axon. Does everyone see microtubules? It's in toward the center of the chopped off end. Okay. Above the label microtubules, what's it say? Myelin sheath appears again with a line pointing to a bar line to mark the extent of the layers. Yes. Now let's go back at the left-hand side of the nerve fiber. What does the bottom label read? That bottom label on the left-hand side above peripheral nerve fiber is what? Intraperiod line. Thank you. You guys are with us. Intraperiod lines are spaces between the outer sides of two Schwann cell plasma membranes. A label up, major dense lines are spaces between the inner sides of two Schwann cell plasma membranes. That major dense line is where the secret occurs. The first major dense line at the outer ring of the concentric circles of myelin sheath layers carries, here's the secret, here's what they don't tell you in high dollar science colleges and universities. Here's what they hide from you. That major dense line, that space, carries a flow of protein. Nerve tissue is fatty tissue. Their structure is fats, as in carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Their function is protein-based. This flow of protein is constant. If the protein code has changed when it arrives at the telodendrons, remember the end trees? The nerve will switch from its synaptic joining or uniting with one nerve and make a synaptic uniting with another. There are no switches as such. In the living wires of our master communication system, the living wires do the switching with each other in a beautiful dance. In lesson 3, I told you about Dr. Paul Weiss, a biology researcher in the last half of the 20th century, whose great love was teaching. He revealed this well-kept secret. He said, quote, "Our living nerves writhe and squirm like angleworms and snakes inside of us. Most of us are running on Model T nerves. We do not practice switching connections often enough." Do you see, we hear, we have the basis for learning. Protein is like a chain. What do you call the links in protein? Louder. Yes, Randa. Amino acids in a chain constitute protein. Everyone has their own protein code like they do their genetic code. The code in the protein flow that comes down that major dense line in between the layers of the myelin sheath determines where the nerve is making connection with the other nerve in the synaptic junction. If the code changes, the wires switch with each other. They dance. What a beautiful dance going on inside of us. Thank you for hanging in through the hard part with me. It's not easy to learn a new language. It's not always easy to put accurate pictures in the picture galleries of our minds. How many of our brothers and sisters think that Christ was crucified on a hill and there were three Latin crosses? There's a bunch of them, aren't there? It's the tree with the three. Where'd we get that other picture from? See what they're doing to us? That's why this visual aid. The reason you should know this secret is because it's in our Bibles. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Again, use your own sword so you'll know where to go. Can we see that if there are anything other than momentary impingements upon our nerve tissues, anything other than momentary impingements on those nerve tissues, we have a problem? If there's constant friction pressure of the environment around the nerves, what happens to the timing of the protein flow in between the layers of myelin sheath? If it's compromised by a constant friction pressure of the environment around the nerves, will the nerves switch with each other on time? No. Adaptation is the key sign of life. How well are we adapting if we're out of sync and out of time in here? Nerve impingement, a constant friction pressure of the environment around the nerves, is well explained in the history of chiropractic. Our nerves are designed to withstand momentary impingements as you and I move around. We're out of tune. It becomes a constant friction pressure of the environment around the nerve. You get an altered timing of that flow of protein down the layers of the myelin sheath. Squeeze a banana. The banana has a disadvantage. It's no longer hooked up to its life supply. Our tissues are. But that fruit of that banana is going to feel that impingement clear through that protective skin. We're looking at Revelation chapter 22. May we read together in unison out of Revelation 22, verse number 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How hungry and thirsty are we? Have we been systematically starved in captivity? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. In our Bibles, the end time prophet Isaiah chapter 55. Take a look at verse 1. What is the most important part of this secret of invisible function? The pages of our Bibles, authorized version 1611, fully reveal this secret tuition free. We're looking at verses 1, 2, and 3 in Isaiah chapter number 55. May we do these verses responsively. Classmates, help me out. Would you take verse 1 and verse 3, and would you let me respond with verse number 2? In Isaiah chapter number 55, you read first verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Are we reading a love letter from our Savior Jesus Christ, given us through the end time prophet Isaiah? Where do the pages of the scriptures reveal this secret we cannot buy with high cost tuition? Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Your marker is in Ephesians chapter 4. Will Scripture unite with the pictures of our visual aid we hung in the picture galleries of our minds? This is our second reading of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. With the pictures you had in your visual aid, let's see if we can read these with an improved understanding. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. I read first verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The King James English of 1611 is no longer commonly spoken in our streets, marketplaces, and assemblies. If we use it or even quote passages from it, it is so intelligible to those who speak the hybrid of gutter vernacular and alley slang and the web and in Walmart and other corporate dangers, it qualifies as a secret code. In fairness to my fathers before me, I must admit that the men of 1611 were capable of understanding the English of Shakespeare and the Bible. Because the use of language is constantly changing, we do not enjoy their advantage today. I say these things because the exercise into which we are about to enter has been misunderstood. People have misunderstood my intent. I find it necessary to state my intention bluntly. I have no interest in changing the wording of the Authorized Version 1611, commonly called the King James. I intend to explore the meaning. Noah Webster, proficient in 20 languages, including the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Koine Greek of the manuscripts, genuinely sourcing from the Tree of Life, praised the quote-unquote common version for its, quote, many passages uniting sublimity with beautiful simplicity. And here's what he had to say. The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good and the best corrector of all that is evil in human society. The best book for regulating the temporal concerns of men and the only book that can serve as an infallible guide to future felicity. What happens after we die? It's taken from the Holy Bible in the Common Version with Amendments of the Language, 1833. Noah Webster, reprinted by Baker Bookhouse Company, 1987. Does what Noah Webster said make sense to you? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the exercise is this. Classmates, you follow most closely these two verses, uniting sublimity with beautiful simplicity, while I explore their meaning in reading. You follow silently, I read out loud. But speaking the truth in love, agape, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, is the government upon his shoulder. From whom, the governor, the whole body harmoniously organizing unity and communicating by that which every joining supplieth, according to the efficient operating and the precise portioning into every zone, maketh increase or produces incremental growing of the body unto the edifying or building up of itself in love, agape. To ensure that no one misunderstands this exercise, did I substitute words for the Authorized Version 1611 text? With no doubt, yes. Is my stated intention to replace the words of the Authorized Version 1611 text with the substituted words? With no doubt, no. Was my stated intention to explore the meaning of the two verses? With no doubt, yes. Here is the question that should be asked. In this exercise by substitution, did I exceed the meaning of the Authorized Version 1611 translators extracted from the Greek text? Did I? You should answer, I do not know. In 1985, I did not know. Some of you may not be familiar with my background. I graduated from chiropractic college in 1976. I had 4,620 hours of anatomy, physiology, same stuff the medical doctors have to study, biochemistry, pathology, diagnosis, clinical work, and ethics and jurisprudence. 4,620 hours. 7 years after I graduated from chiropractic college, God got a hold of me, and I had respect for the Bible. I decided to use the Bible to re-examine everything I'd been taught. And these lessons are a direct result of my ongoing project, making corrections, getting God's help. His son, Jesus Christ, is the capital A author of biology. Amen? When I perceived these verses as an excellent description of the distribution of vital life forces from the center of ourselves out to all parts of the body and back again in the cycle, I did not know of a certainty whether I had exceeded the meaning the Authorized Version 1611 translators extracted from the Koine Greek text. The thought did occur to me that if I could be seeing this, somebody else out there saw this also. In 1985, I went to the local library and found the Interpreter's Bible, published in 1953, and made copies. I found those copies damaged and returned to the library. The interpreter's Bible had been replaced with the 2004 version. The sections on Ephesians and Colossians had been replaced with pablum, microwave, neurotoxic to the children of God. It wasn't even milk. All mentioned that the Apostle Paul was speaking of the joinings or contacting of nerves uniting the body and function had been eradicated. The 1953 edition had disappeared, preventing me from comparing the two. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to be in Paul's first letter to the believers at Corinth, chapter number 1. After Tabernacles 2017, I visited my brother live and direct for the first time in 12 years. I called upon the library in a nearby town, historically famous as a conservative Jewish community. I found the 1953 Interpreter's Bible. Now, there's Jews that say they are Jews and are, and there's Jews that say they are Jews and are not, and are of the synagogue of Satan. They weren't fooled by this new 2004 edition. They kept the 1953 in their own library, right there in the hinterlands of New Jersey, just outside Philadelphia. They weren't fooled. We are. I found in that Bible, in that library, in that conservative Jewish community, the 1953 Interpreter's Bible. Does the Bible use the marvelous physiological functioning of the nerves of the living body to explain the supernatural function of the body of Christ, the church? I know there are people here, members, who have a good understanding of how the body of Christ should function. The bond is love. The biggest objection is the fact we have our present-day understanding from microscope and electron microscopy. How could Paul have even understood, quote, the invisible things of him, unquote, by microscopically understanding, quote, unquote, the things that are made? And just how did Paul expect to communicate this to, quote, unquote, unlearned and ignorant men? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The majority of the apostles, not to mention the disciples, just read and believe. We see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Please read from your sword out of the scabbard. Let us read together in unison out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. The word noble is translated from the Koine Greek word, number 2104, eugenes, well-born, high in rank, upper crust, privilege, the elites, even the just us system. We need to consider what 1 Corinthians 1:26 does not say. Verse 26 does not say, not any mighty, not any noble are called. It says, not many. Paul identified himself as a Jew from Tarsus. And in Philippians says, quote, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, unquote. He took instruction at the feet of Gamaliel, member of the Sanhedrin, and was well known to the priesthood. He learned from Christ he was persecuting the genuine remnant in the name of the counterfeit church. At first he was astonished. Then he was grieved to the grave. Before King Agrippa, Paul retold meeting Christ. Festus said in a loud voice, quote, Paul, thou art thou beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. The Greek word mania, translated mad in Acts, appears in English as mania. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Your own sword. We're in rehearsal. The world, after Paul's change, thought he was crazy. Quote, not many, unquote. Not many can withstand the accusation, much less the conviction and condemnation as, quote, unquote, those crazy Christians. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. Classmates, let me read verse 15. Would you please respond with verse 16? In 2 Peter chapter 3, I read first verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Peter confesses there, quote, are some things hard to be understood, unquote, in Paul's epistles. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This time, go to your handout. This is a keeper. It allows you to compare two verses in the New Testament scriptures to see the commonality of the Greek words used in both. And you got a bonus on the backside. Don't miss out on that bonus. That's your homework. Don't miss out on that bonus. The Apostle Paul is one of the few, not the only, to be called into the Christian faith from among the mighty, the noble, the cognoscenti. He had the best of education. He was not an ignorant fisherman. Yet he was martyred, as were the 12 apostles. Nerve function. As you look upon Ephesians 4, 15, 16, may I read from the Interpreter's Bible. It contains for each Bible verse an exegesis and an exposition. For Ephesians, the exposition is written by Theodore O. Waddell, and the exegesis is written by Francis W. Beer. Now, before I explain those terms, let me go through with you the Greek words here briefly. On your nerve function visual aid, notice Greek word number 860, hephe. Its seminal meaning is fastening. It's translated as joint. Word number 1223, dia, a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act, agency. It's translated by, through, with. Greek words 2023 and 2024, epikoregeo and epikoregia. First one's the verb, second one is the noun. Translated, minister, nourishment, supply. Word number 4822, sumbabadso, to drive together, unite mentally, to infer, show, teach. It's translated as compact, instruct, knit together. Word number 4883, sunarmalogeo, befitly framed, joined together, is the translation. Notice that these words are commonly used in Ephesians and Colossians. The 1828 Webster defines the noun exegesis as, quote, a discourse intended to explain or illustrate a subject. The adjective exegetical is defined to unfold or illustrate. Does illustrate mean to picture? Did we hang some pictures in the picture galleries of our minds? The 1828 Webster defines exposition as a laying open the sense or meaning of an author or any passage in a writing. In Waddell's effort to expose the meaning of verses 15, 16 in his exposition, he writes, Paul's epistles are not easy reading. We remember Peter said so too. Speaking of verse 15, Waddell notes that Paul thinks of maturity as a mark of unity in the church. And he writes this, a Christian without daily or at least weekly contact with Holy Scripture and without continuous growth and understanding of its meaning will soon find his faith withering away. He will be open to the wiles of error. The Interpreter's Bible, 1953, volume 10, page 694. Waddell adds that the most effective agent maturing us as Christians is, quote, full sharing in the common life of the Christian fellowship. I see that here. He calls Christian fellowship a miracle of quote unquote divine grace. He explains why creating fellowship is such a miracle. Every man is by nature a little small g god to himself. Unconverted human society resembles a battlefield of rival gods. And Pastor Don extemporized eloquently on what we're seeing going on right now. Brother Bruce McCarthy had an excellent definition of politics. The application of our faith to every aspect of both our private and our civil lives. Does that wake us up? Does that call to us? Wedell defines the church as a fellowship of repentant and forgiven sinners, a community of the dead and risen, and says, quote, only such a body as it upbuilds itself in love can bring true fellowship onto the stage of history. It can be the one agent on earth producing true community. Nothing else does it. Nothing. In his exposition of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, Wedell contrasts this supernatural fellowship in the church body with the world's counterfeit. Modern man, he says, suffers under the illusion establishing community is easy. Just throw people close together. Contiguity, annihilating distance, seating people at a conference table to produce brotherhood. Piece of cake, we got this. Hence, he writes, our naive faith in leagues of nations or other unitings in assembly halls, in the telephone, telegraph, and the airplane as instruments of unity. Experience is teaching us hard lessons. A bringing of people close to each other may mean merely a greater knowledge of mutual faults or an intolerable clashing of egotisms, The ancient world was more realistic than the 20th century. That is why the church appeared to be to the contemporaries of Paul as a great miracle. To create fellowship is simply not easy. It calls for divine grace. It involves a dying to self. The New Testament does not hesitate to call it a dying. The Interpreter's Bible, 1953, volume 10. On your nerve function sheet, Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. There is in the book of Colossians the epistle of Paul, quote, to the saints and faithful brethren which are at Colossae, unquote, a second witness, a companion scripture to Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. For the second time, we find the King James English word joint, translating the mysterious Koine Greek word hephe, Greek word number 860. Let us read together in unison from the nerve function sheet. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. To overcome our disadvantage that the 1611 King James English is no longer commonly spoken in our 21st century, may I test by substitution using our current vernacular. Again, my only intent is to explore the meaning. I do not intend to replace any of the beautiful words of the authorized version. You take a close look at verse 19. Colossians chapter 2. You follow closely and silently, let me read, and not absolute and negative, holding on fast to the head, kephale, Greek word number 2776, from which we get our anatomical term, cephalic, from or out of which or whom all the body, soma, Greek word 4983, by joinings, junctions, contactings, touchings, or unitings, and bands, or bondings, unitings, and controllings, having nourishment, or supplyings, or contributings, ministered, and knit together, or driving together, or compacting, or gathering together, increaseth, or groweth, or enlargeth, with the increase or growth of God. The exposition of Colossians is rendered by G. Preston McLeod. He says, the church, neglecting, quote, to rise above the outlook of contemporary human society, unquote, is, quote, unquote, not holding the head. He damns churchianity in this paragraph. Christianity is a law of life, a way of living, or a fellowship of kindred minds is an emasculated Christianity. If somebody doesn't know what the word emasculated means, imagine missing your privy member in stones. The living Christ is the Lord of thought, the Lord of the soul, the Lord of all life, and the church's Lord. The Interpreter's Bible, 1953, volume 11, page 208. McLeod exposes us to the cross-reference of all the body in Colossians 2:19. Look at your function sheet. All the body in Colossians 2:19 with the whole body in Ephesians 4:16. He calls them parallel passages. Even the Greek words are the same for both. Pan, all, to, soma. To is the definite article. Pan, to, soma. He says, it is not the human membership or the human leadership of the church who supplies the life and power by which the church grows. The growth is not mere growth in numbers, prestige, influence, or activity, according to any merely human standard of progress. I appreciate so much your comments during prayer because you illustrated that perfectly for us. It's what the Holy Spirit's doing in the people who arrived here today that makes it all. The growth is not mere growth in numbers, prestige, influence, or activity, according to any merely human standard of progress. In vital union with Christ, the growth of the church will conform to the divine nature and will, fulfilling God's purpose for His church. The Interpreter's Bible, 1953, volume 11, page 208. How much better can you say it? Have we noticed what admission Wedell in Ephesians and McLeod in Colossians make? In the two epistles, what do the expositors say Paul is doing? Is Paul comparing the marvelous physiological functioning of the living body to the marvelous supernatural functioning of the living body of Christ, the church? Are we without excuse, Romans 1:20? We have the evidence in our own physical bodies, living, functioning. We have the evidence here. In the body of Christ. Francis W. Beer writes the exegesis for both Colossians and Ephesians. Remember exegesis? Picture, illustrate. In this verse, Paul develops an elaborate physiological metaphor. The head is not merely the seat of the directing intelligence. In ancient physiology, it was regarded as the center and source of all the vital forces supplying the body with all it requires for health and growth. In Ephesians 4:16, the same metaphor is used. Interpreter's Bible, volume 11, this time page 205. Physiological metaphor. In the exegesis for Ephesians 4:16, Beer writes this. The physiological metaphor which Paul had employed in Colossians 2:19 is now taken up and applied to picture the interdependence of the members in contributing to and through one another the vital forces which derive ultimately from the head. Hephe, joint, is better taken in the more general sense of contact. The literal rendering would then be, quote, through every contact of the supply, unquote, suggesting the way in which the vital forces make their way through the body by an endless succession of contacts. Every part is a channel which receives and passes on this life. Volume 11, pages 694, 695. Did we say earlier that every cell inside our bodies transmits and benefits from mental impulses that course the living nerves? Does every cell or member in the body of Christ do the same? Is this us? Paul Weiss, whose first love was teaching, revealed the secret of living function in the 1970s. While, quote, we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28, our nerves writhe and squirm like angleworms and snakes inside of us, constantly switching connections with each other in an amazing dance, timed by changes in the code of the protein flow between layers of the myelin sheath. Intraperiod lines and major dense lines delineating spaces between myelin sheath layers were first visible in the 20th century under the electron microscope. Were they visible in the first century? The first century church? 2 Corinthians 12:7. How did Paul know the living wires, the nerves, do the switching? Was he given the abundance? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. How did Paul know the living wires, the nerves, do the switching? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Was he given the abundance of the revelations for the sake of the Gentiles, Israel, in dispersion? Are we the dispersed among the Gentiles? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, everybody there, verse 7. Let us read together in unison out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What's Paul confessing to here? Is he saying the Holy Spirit's keeping him humble? The Greek word translated buffet means to rap with the fist. Get some bruises doing it. Matthew 16, verse 16. Does even the visible seem supernatural? Imagine the invisible. Does the visible testify to the invisible? If even the visible seems supernatural, imagine what the invisible is. We're in Matthew chapter 16. May we read together in unison verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're looking at your sword. Look at your sword. Verse 17. Does Jesus tell Peter that he is blessed because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto him? Do we remember when God got a hold of us? There's still miracles. They're going on. One member at a time being added by God to the body of his Son Jesus Christ, the church. Our homework is verses 18 and 19. Along with side 2, nerve function. Are we only churchianity? Or are we already functioning supernaturally? What kind of supernatural functioning withstands the gates of hell? Who are we? Are we holding fast to the head? Who are we? To be continued, God willing. And warm, wonderful, and private fellowship.